Hey, welcome to the Ops Team. This is Ops Team episode number 13. And, well, this is the show where all of us get around the table and we talk about the things that matter to us most that have happened over the course of the last week inside of our IT Ops and DevOps world.
So it's not necessarily news.
It's not necessarily news.
It could be just conversation, and I'm kind of giving part of this away.
Oh yeah, yeah. I think it could well just be conversation at this point in time today. It's been a relatively quiet week. Last week inside of Microsoft, there was a pretty big internal conference. A bunch of us were involved in that kind of thing, and it just kind of slows things down just a little tiny bit whilst everybody goes through that and then moves on to onto the next thing. So there wasn't a huge amount of kind of new releases happening over the course of last week, but there is still stuff out there that matters to us. And we are going to use the usual format where we spin the spinner. We'll work out what the spinner is going to be in just a second.
It's probably
going to be something on Rick's phone. And then we're going to talk about some of the things that have happened over the past week, or that we've worked on, or that we've liked, that actually make a little bit of sense to you folks. So,
shall we spin?
Let's spin.
You're going to spin away?
Yep.
Okay, so... we can kind of see it there. Yeah.
The Microsoft logo at the top.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah. Nice and simple. They even have a picture going on. Everything else like that.
Oh,
and it's me.
Oh, yes.
And it's me. Our normal sound effects guy is not around today. He is... Matt, anyway?
Well, he's on vacation.
Yeah.
As a result, I don't think he's even going to be dialing in his segment.
Right. I'm in the timer guy today.
Okay.
And we don't have a formal sound, but I do have a timer.
Okay.
So
let's go for the timer.
Ready
then.
And.
Boop. Okay. We don't even know who's going to edit the show just yet. But,
yeah.
We'll figure that out. 5 minutes to talk about Azure type stuff, and Matt's not here to talk about Azure Stack, so you know what? Actually, it's a combine a bit of the two, because I had the opportunity last week-ish, I think it was last week, to do an interview with Corey Sanders and with Jeffrey Snover, the Azure guy and the Azure Stack guy, ultimately, to be able to go off and talk about the differences and what's going on. And there was actually an article just recently published, Visual Studio blog, was it? That was talking about basically publish, and now being able to publish your applications either up to Azure or to the first release candidate, if you will, of the Azure Stack for the proof of concept stuff that happens to be out there that's now available. What some people don't actually know is that literally, from what I understand from talking with Corey and talking with Jeffrey Snover, was the fact that we've been saying it is the same engine that is deploying resources in Azure. The Azure Resource Manager is deploying the resources inside of your own Azure Stack. Hmm. And so you're going to have your resource providers that are kind of behind the scenes specific to the hardware profiles that you're running on premises. Again, very limited number at this point in time because it's only the release preview to kind of show you what it is. We'll be able to provision and work with different resources with JSON templates to be able to go off and deploy your application infrastructure to be able to go off and deploy, and it can deploy either inside of Azure or inside of Azure Stack. That's the continuity that they're looking for, and apparently they've achieved it, at least at this first level, on the Azure Stack side of things, which is very cool. I have not had the slightest bit of time to even look at the POC, and that's actually something I was going to ask Matt here, who's not here, about if he's had a chance to play with Azure Stack as of yet. Do you guys know at all?
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure he has. Yeah,
yeah.
He's got all the servers on our team.
He's got them all herded together, and he's building something.
So we actually do have a box that I believe, or more than one perhaps, that fulfills that requirement.
Okay.
So, for the Azure Stack. So I think he's been working on getting that going.
Nice.
Yeah.
It seems that the world is pretty excited about this. There's a lot of folks out there talking about how cool this is.
I've seen a lot of tweets and blog post articles that are coming out these days from MVPs that are talking about Azure Stack, playing with it, and seeing how it works and stuff like that. So that's encouraging to see that going on.
Yeah, I mean it's different, right? Because it really is Azure, like you mentioned, like you're running Azure. Right, I mean, ineffectively, on premises, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's
the part that they want to make sure that everyone is aware of is obviously that the Azure Stack components that are there is only supporting at this point in time IaaS for VMs,
right,
and also supporting a very limited amount of native PaaS type stuff. It's not doing everything
as
of yet.
There's
first attempt. Well, it's also one node.
Well, you get one node of Azure. So it doesn't have the cloud infinite capacity, right, when you're running on a single box and some other things. But, you know, having the resource manager, you know, code that's the same is huge, right? So that's why you can do stuff like with a Visual Studio, click and say deploy Azure, deploy here. Or it's the same with your JSON template kind of thing, right?
The whole update process to how things are looking at, Jeffrey was discussing that on the interview, and he's like, we haven't figured that out as of yet for how frequently things are going to be, but like quite literally, different component functionality will be able to be available inside of your own Azure stack as things come down, as things progress. They haven't worked out the update schedule for things come out. So it's not a buy once and you're done. It's a subscribe, install it, and work with it, but then new functionality comes down. It won't be coming down at the same speed as what we do in Azure, where, there's another one. There's another functionality that's right there. It's not going to be coming at that kind of frequency. You know, enterprises don't like that level of quick change. But frequency and updates, still to be determined and more to be revealed as of soon. But, yeah, man, news-wise, like I said, there's by the time you hear this show, there's probably going to be news that's coming out next week and stuff like that that we can't talk about right now because I don't know when the show's going to be published. That's kind of been keeping me busy. But I was joking around with the guys over here because, you know, I'm the Microsoft guy that if you cut me that I bleed blue. I'm so Microsoft. And my laptop right now is actually running Ubuntu because I'm on the Linux team or part of the team that works with Linux environments on top of Azure. And so I've been boning up on my skills on the Linux side of things.
That we have an operating system that might be easier. Just saying. You know, as the devices guy.
As the devices guy.
He's got to live it and breathe it over there.
Oh, look at that.
We do have a sound. Look at that.
That's the noise that wakes me up every morning. I was just like, wait, that's my alarm.
What?
Nice.
Now how do I turn it off? Oh boy.
There's normally a dismiss button somewhere.
I'll close it. Oh! I closed the app, but it's still going. Oh boy. Okay.
There you go.
You got that.
Now we got it.
Wow.
And technically, we're supposed to actually put the sound input on your.
That's right.
Laptop?
I didn't even know it had a sound.
I know. So the good thing is that now we know we have a sound.
And
we did capture the PC input's there, but we did capture it au naturel with the microphone.
It was loud enough, which is a good point. It is pretty loud, so you might want to just dial the volume down there, otherwise we might
I'll ride the audio over here, as I said. Slow day for Azure, man. Yeah. Let's see, 50-50 chance it's going to be Mr. May or Mr. Tessar, who's going to be? And it's Mr. Tessar.
All right, can do that. Okay, starting in now. There we go.
There you go, man. What's up with the world of DevOps? What's up?
So DevOps, we have a new DevOps Dimension episode. We interviewed the Bing team. So the folks who run Bing, and we talked for quite a while about how they do experimentation and testing at a very, very large scale. So there was a new story that we released, or that they released, I should say, about they call it in the story Bing Continuous Delivery. But in that, there's a lot of stuff about experimentation and scale. So big idea one of the big ideas in DevOps is experimenting, right? So testing something that you think, you know, your users will like, getting that out there in the minimum viable product version way, and then getting feedback on that, right? So they have done a lot of stuff on experimentation. They do hundreds of thousands of experiments like all the time, and they do testing also at scale, but there's a lot of science behind it. And so we talk about how does that work, how can people apply stuff. You know, I think one of the things that sometimes people think is, oh, well, that's Bing. We can't, you know, we're not there. We're not even going to listen to it. But we try to, in the interview, apply the approach of what can you take back and learn from this, right? And giving you resources on that. And the same thing with testing, right? I mean, there's principles in the testing side of the house that you can apply throughout your whole life cycle, right? So, you know, ideally that's good for ops people because less downtime is good for you, right? so So that's goodness there. So that interview is live. You can check that out. Another thing that we have is Visual Studio Team Services has a new update, January 25th release to the service. And there's quite a few things in there, but I think the most relevant things for kind of ops folks is the release management improvements. So I definitely, you know, believe release management is a thing that ops people should do, right? I mean, it's, you're doing it anyway. You may not be doing it in an automated, fancy fashion, but there's some cool stuff that's there in regards to having better control over environments. So, for instance, you know, some of the enhancements is triggering when releases happen, triggering releases in parallel. So there's lots more options and capabilities in terms of ordering your releases, releasing them at the same time, as well as having more options. There's also a deferring the deployment. So if you want to kind of schedule every at a certain time, we always do deployments with whatever, you can do that, as well as have other types of approvals over the approval controls. So for instance, if you want to say any of the users in the list or any two of the users, so there's kind of some additional approval controls to allow a release to go out the door. Other things, retention policies on releases. So you know, if you want to not have keep your releases forever, you could just keep a policy behind that. So a lot of stuff in that front on the release. There's a number of other changes too, but that's kind of one of the major ones I wanted to call out there. So I have about a minute left here. So one other thing is we have a new post up on kind of it's called continuous mobile beta distribution and crash reporting. So we have a pretty interesting suite, and this is a growing space, which is mobile and DevOps. So how do you do a lot of the DevOps practices with mobile application mm-hmm. development, and doing things not just from building and testing your application automatically in that pipeline, but stuff like how do I get feedback right prior to it? Like, so we have something called Hockey App, and that's a service where it's kind of an early channel that you can put a lot of different applications in, not just one, right? So having a central place to get crashes, analytics, and things for kind of maybe your beta users is one thing. We have Code Push and a lot of integrations with Visual Studio Team Services to kind of push and deploy your bits to things. And so I know at least I'm planning in the future to have an interview with like the OneDrive team, and they I know do even automated releases all the way to the store, which is pretty cool for Android. Hmm. So that's something you can do. There's a new blog post on that. We have we announced a while back a partnership with Mac in the clouds. You can do iOS builds through your pipeline. Go ahead.
Yeah. You made the alarm and
there we go. Wow. Time's up. All right. Cool. Yeah.
Mr. May.
Okay.
Well, shall we spin you off or anything? No, we don't have to spin off.
No, we don't need to do anything.
We just need to have a timer ready to go here.
Okay. Can you set the timer for 1 minute?
Please? 1 minute, please.
1 minute, okay.
1 minute for Windows and devices news.
You want 1 minute? All
right. I think we can go a little longer. But, okay. So I will wait until...
There's the beep.
Beep.
Beep. So what's happened over the course of the past week? We have a new Windows Insider, Windows 10 Mobile Insider preview build out there. And that's introduced a couple of kind of bug fixes. It's also... introduced things like improvements for device reset, where if you've got BitLocker turned on the device, which most people have, then we can change a little bit of the policy around that. But probably most importantly, we've actually added a new build ring in. So if you're not familiar with the idea of build rings at this point, where have you been living? Probably under a rock, because they're getting pretty important.
The ring, the one, right? Well, you got to have the... No.
The one ring, yeah. We have slightly more than one ring at this point. So the way that the build rings work is that inside of Microsoft, we have a canary build ring for the folks that are working on the software. Then we have a wider build ring, which is for most people to be able to kind of inside of that group, like the marketing folks, to be able to go and start exploring and using. Then we have another ring, which is for the rest of Microsoft to be able to explore. Then there's a ring outside of that, which is the Windows Insider Fast Ring, which is where you folks can go and join the Windows Insider program, start to experience early access to bits. Then there's the Windows Insider Slow Ring, which is kind of the next iteration of that. And as you move through these rings, things get more stable. More bug fixes go back in, and things kind of get better and get fixed. And then finally, we have the Release Preview Ring, which they've just added in, which will be the very near final bits that are available to you if you join your device into that ring. So very interesting way of being able to do release management around the operating system as well. Obviously, if you're, as you are, an IT guy, you want to be using some parts of those rings inside of your own organization. So you probably want some of your early adopters, maybe your IT department, to be inside, say, Windows Insider Slow. And then you're probably going to want to have some people maybe just outside of your IT department that are going to be inside Windows Insider Release Preview, so that you can understand what's applying to people when. So that was one of the things that came out, was build 10586.107. Kind of complicated.
That's my favorite. Yeah. My favorite build.
Yeah. 10586.107. Yeah. It's easiest to just say 586.107. So those are you can kind of the actual iterations. 107 is the thing you want to be paying attention
to. maybe you can give us a brief answer on why folks might want to join a ring at all.
You get early access to what's coming. So in the past, folks have been asking us for years and years. I mean, we know this ever since we've been doing this job. What's the roadmap?
Yeah.
Well, now you get to experience the roadmap. We don't just
in real time.
Yeah, we don't just explain it by giving you a marketing slide that says, "Hey, this is going to happen here and here and here." You actually get to feel it, experience it as it's going through. And not only that, it gives you that opportunity to test. You can actually start running the things that matter most to your company against those rings. So, if you've got some folks that are inside Windows Insider, maybe in the side of the slow ring, they can be testing those critical line of business apps to make sure that they're working and nothing's broken that maybe you or us need to fix.
Where can you learn about, like, I mean, you're getting all these updates, but like, I'm sure there's a lot of stuff you have no idea what's the new stuff. Is there a way to figure that out?
Kind of. So as we put stuff out there, a small amount of what's actually in that build is actually inside of the Windows Insider hub inside of Windows. Uh-huh. So it'll start to tell you and release certain bits of information on the blogs as well. An exhaustive list of everything that went into a build is pretty complex and very, very hard to do.
Right.
When you're thinking about a product that's the size of Windows with as many different teams and people working on it as is, it makes it really tricky to just be able to like write a list. You'd be by the time we wrote the list, the next build will be ready. So it's pretty tough.
Isn't there a community maintained page, or is it a Windows maintained page for updates or something like that? I thought I saw something come on the Twitter sphere about that recently.
I think they're working on something. Not entirely sure what it is that's out there yet.
Maybe that was the conversation, that something's coming out, but it's still currently not used yet.
Yeah, I think that's kind of it. So there was that. That was a pretty big thing. The other big thing for me over the course of the past week, this isn't related to IT at all, but I know that lots of us out there are using these things. This is my Microsoft Band. And it got a couple of nice little updates recently. I wear this thing continuously. Except when charging, yeah. But actually, I have a nice little stand on my desk to charge. So I can't type with it on, because I can't type with the watch on. It just bumps up against the desk. But,
anyway, you can finish this. Go ahead.
We added, the team added a GPS saver mode. So it'll check in with GPS slightly less. It's slightly less accurate. But if you're doing what I occasionally do and go for like a 2 or 3 hour marathon length run, then actually you kind of need that, because the battery with continuous check-in on GPS can't quite get there. Battery technology is just not at the right space to be able to do that and give the size of the device the right kind of feel. And you can also manually log your weight now as well.
Can you do that from the band, or you have to do it from the app?
You have to do that from the app on your phone. Yeah. Okay. Which is a little bit shame. I actually have a Wi-Fi scale at home that does that automatically for me. Doesn't yet update into the band app, but I'm able to track that outside of that. So yeah, kind of cool. Enjoyed that.
Sweet. Awesome. Well.
Yeah. Oh, right. There's one other thing.
What?
One of the major pieces of news that folks may not be aware of. Hopefully you are. you've probably all registered, but please let us know. Ignite registrations opened. Woohoo! Down in Atlanta, or Hotlanta, as most of us like to call it.
Hotlanta.
It's in the fall, right? Hotlanta.
Yeah, it is in the fall. It's still going to be pretty warm, I think, in September. Yep. Going to be kind of warm down there. Go register for Ignite. It's always a great place to learn about what's happening inside of Microsoft, learn about what the latest and greatest technology is that we're working on.
That cool. Alrighty.
That's all I wanted to say about that, really.
There you go. I haven't registered yet.
Now, I'm kind of hoping that someone's going to ask me to
speak. Or something. Yeah. I'm kind of waiting in that same boat myself, too.
Sweet. All right.
Well, on the Twitter sphere, do we have any activity at all for what's going on? I thought, Simon, did you pull up those stats earlier for what's going on for the ops team? Do you still have those or
we
not?
We have 211 Twitter followers right now.
Wow.
Yeah. We had a couple of tweets over the course of the past week that we answered very quickly on the fly. Don't know what they are at this point in time. But thank you
we
very
much. We have
someone
for that.
Yeah, there's a person called Matt. Unfortunately, we didn't do much of it in the way of a handover from Matt.
I would say so one of us is going to have to probably pick that up, I guess.
Yeah.
While he's off on vacay.
He is away traveling the world for a little while, so he'll be back.
So if you want to get a hold of us, you're more than welcome to get a hold of us online on the Twitters at @TheOpsTeam, in case you want to get a hold of us there. Mr. Tessar.
Yeah.
How do you get a hold of you, man?
@DTZAR is my handle on Twitter.
I'm @RicksterCDN.
And I am @PsyMonster on the Twitters.
And so, what do you think, man? This was a ragtaggle kind of episode, but you know, it works.
Yep.
For what needs to happen. And I'm still trying to remember how to use the switcher here. Don't mind me if the camera's in the wrong angle, whatever it is.
I know it's not running an open source distro of Linux, but you know.
It is. It's not an embedded. It's a kiosk mode of Windows over there on the TriCaster device.
Does that mean that we can do a git push in order to be able to update it?
I have no idea. Okay. It might be able to. The funny thing is, I know how to do that now.
Okay, cool. Maybe you can show me at some point.
So on the fly here, I just want to shout out to Alan Miller at ENU235 saying all the items are relevant to the modern day computing professional. Thank you.
The
ops team helping you out here.
We like to be relevant.
Yeah. Nice. Very, very cool, man.
I wonder if we'll get the same kind of comments after this episode.
Well, you know, we'll find out.
All right.
We'll see where she's at.
Cool.
So with that,
call to wrap.
Get a hold of us. If you want to, you can also email us at theopsteam@microsoft.com. It's still around. Yep. It's still there.
Please, in the title, put, I am not a bot.
Yeah.
Yes, or something like that. There you go.
Unless, of course, you're Edbot or something, then you can.
Or indeed, actually, are a robot, in which case...
Yeah, kind of cool to talk to the robots too.
Yeah.
But hey, we'll wrap this one up and we'll say good times. I got to figure out how to switch this here and to there. There we go.
There we go. All
right. And switch over to there. Thanks a lot. See you next week and have a good one.
Adios.